Join us today. My name is Daniel Cavanaugh, and I'm here with my dad, Charles. This is Crosstalk, the gospel for today and beyond. We're in pursuit of growing in our understanding of the gospel and discovering what it means to transfer to the next generation. And Dad, I know that we had a podcast that was released last week, but we recorded that before we even left for Passion for Christ. So this is really the first time since Passion for Christ we've sat down and began to record a new episode.
Right.
So we're looking forward to this week kind of continuing on with this concept of the marriage and how this is a biblical marriage at work. And what we've been seeing and leading up to is both the responsibility of the man and the woman when it comes to the home. But, you know, modern culture has planted this picture of what they think it should look like. And it's safe to say we as believers may have allowed this portrait to influence how we think.
Right.
Maybe even some of our preconceived biblical ideas have affected that, and maybe we'll see some of that. But you know, we've talked about the characteristics of the wife in the home, kind of alluded to that. But now we want to flesh out in today's episode more of what those qualities look like. So what we're basically talking about is the wife and her home.
Right.
I'll just go ahead and say this: we specifically didn't say the woman and her place because we thought that may not come out
very well. Bad connotations for some people, although it's not necessarily bad.
But anyway, the wife and her home, and three things that are going to guide us through this conversation today is talking about being loving, being ladylike, and being loyal. We're going to be working from Titus 2 in regards to the Titus 2 woman there. So just jumping in here. Being loving. What are we talking about here?
Well, Paul told Titus to have the older Christian women to teach the younger Christian women some particular things. And what we're going into here in verses 4 and 5 of Titus 2 is those things. And her love for her husband is right at the front. That's something that can be taught. That's interesting enough, as
right.
It is that older women can teach the younger women to love them and how to love them.
Well, real quick, before we move into that, what if the older women are not doing it, though?
Well, then, that's
kind of a sort of problem. And I really think we have to realize that the older women and the younger women need to be listening to this, because if the older women are going to teach the younger women, then there needs to be a sense of understanding of both sides.
Right, and that's something. It may be in our day and in a lot of churches that we're going to have to start the cycle.
Right.
You know, we say that about Christian homes. If you didn't have a Christian home, you need to start the cycle.
Right. Well, you know? Now we got to do it now.
And that's right. Here's the place to start. If we don't have really older women, then we can take the ones we have. And if we
right.
don't have any, then maybe the pastor and his wife can train up some of the young ones to be
right.
the older women in the next generation.
Because they will be before long.
Yes. It won't be long. They'll be older.
But anyway, sorry to digress there just a little bit.
Yeah, that was kind of a distraction. But it's a good thing
to
address.
So.
A woman is to love her husband. It's interesting, that word. You know, usually we think of special love, Christ's love for the church,
right.
man's love for his wife, as in Ephesians 5. We think of the Greek word. Everybody's usually heard, almost everyone in church has heard a pastor say, well, that's the Greek word, agape.
Right. Right.
And that's a great word. It's a great love. That's not this word, strangely enough.
So what is the word?
It's a word made up of two Greek words. One is phileo, and the other is andros, or andros, and it's an affection for a husband. There's a special affection.
So it's specifically for this idea of loving
yes.
a husband.
It's a special affection a woman has, a wife has for her husband. And the, you know, men need the love of a woman. We were talking about this before we came on. There was a song years ago, Johnny Horton sang it. It was a country song. North to Alaska. And in that song, George,
I'm just going to warn people, there are going to be two country song references in this
And I'm
podcast.
Not even a country music
And I'm just finding this really funny. But
yeah.
Anyway.
It is odd. But, hey, I grew up in a home where
right,
country
right,
music
right.
was...
No, I'll get you.
Country music was pretty big.
Right. But anyway.
So Sam, in the song, George says to Sam, a man needs a woman to love him all the time. Remember, Sam, a true love is so hard to find. And the point of that song, the point of that line was that a woman's love, a woman's affection is worth more than all the gold in Alaska.
Right.
And so women need to know that their affection for their husband is a biblical thing. It's a very important thing. A man needs a lover. And yes, he needs a sexual lover. That's
right.
true. But he needs more than that. I mean, men, this is going to sound a bit crass. Men can buy sexual love.
Right.
But you can't buy the affection of a godly wife.
Absolutely. And I think you've made a comment that's really important for especially young women and even older women, but you can crush a man when you deny him this love.
Exactly.
And I think, and I brought out this question, you know, if a man, if you deny him this and you're not loving him as a wife should, and he falls into, though it's his decision, falls into pornography or an immoral relationship with another woman, do you bear some responsibility for that? And your answer to that was yes, based upon the fact that, yes, you're not responsible for his decision, but you are responsible for, in a sense, defrauding him and not giving him that which he needs. And obviously that process starts so much longer. I mean, it goes way back. It does. There's more there
this
than
is
just
a few seconds we're going to give to this. But the concept of defrauding is a biblical one. And if you look in a Corinthian letter, Paul told men, Christian men and women, do not defraud one another. Do not keep back sexual, physical affection from one another. Unless it's for a time, for a particular reason in which you both agree. So to defraud can be one of two things. It can be to offer something you can't righteously give. It can also be to not give what you should righteously give. And the affection of a woman is something that she should give to her husband. To withhold that can crush him and can also put big-time pressure on him.
It can almost do a whole episode on that whole thing. Yeah.
Maybe someday we will.
So we're talking about the love you have for your husband, but what about the love you have for your household? The wife obviously has children most of the time. Not always, but most of the time.
Teach them, it says, to love their husbands and to love their children. And there's a special word for that.
I was saying, there's another special word.
Right. Interestingly enough, it's the word for phileo and technos. A techna or technos is a child.
Right.
Phileo, affection. So affection for a mother's affection for her child, for her children. All of us know, as Christians, I hope we know something of that affection. Why do babies love it when their mothers show up? You know, and so a woman should give that kind of affection to her children. Now, some of that is seen in Proverbs chapter 31, where it says that she rises during the night to take care of them. She doesn't fear for their welfare because she knows she's provided and worked hard to take care for them. She opens her mouth with kindness on her with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She looks well too. She watches over her household. She's not lazy. This affection she has begets a diligence on their behalf. And then what happens? Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also. He praises her. This is the kind of love and affection a woman, a wife, and mother should have in the home for her husband, for her children. So, well, that's a lot of pressure to put on a woman. Actually, it's biblical pressure, but it shouldn't be pressure. If you love someone, you shouldn't have trouble being affectionate.
It comes from the heart. And
it does.
Not
exactly. So this is first, at least, in the order to be loving.
So loving, what about being ladylike? That word has, I think we struggle with that in our society and culture now.
Yeah, I think there's been a loss of biblical femininity. And it doesn't necessarily mean you have to dress like someone from Little House on the Prairie to be feminine.
Right, right.
But what femininity has been reduced to in our day is sexuality.
Right.
You know, a woman.
Or there is the idea that just being redefined that, you know, like you were saying, is, you know, well, a woman can do everything that a man can do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
The whole
so,
thing of driving a pickup and going out and making
a living.
Which
is not necessarily wrong.
I don't mind
that.
If women drive
a
pickup. You know, if I had a pickup, my wife would probably drive it. That's not the point.
My mother-in-law likes her pickup. I mean, she does.
Yeah.
But I think homeschooling, like we've grown up in that circle, we sometimes have reduced a woman to just merely being a baby factory.
Right.
And that's not what she is necessarily.
Right.
She's not a baby,
that
just a baby
factory.
That can
be demeaning. That doesn't
Absolutely.
Mean that bearing children is an important part of what she does. It
Absolutely.
Certainly is, and she should be honored for that. But that's not all she is. And so what then do we see here that gives us some glimpse of biblical femininity and being a lady? Well, one is the conduct of a Christian lady. She is to be sober. Sober in the sense that she is to be serious-minded, serious in a biblical sense. She's to be discreet. She's to be sensible. She's not to, you know, that other passage in Proverbs, the law of kindness is in her tongue. She looks well to things. She's discreet. She's chaste. Well, have we lost that word, chastity? Mm-hmm. Chastity is considered almost ridiculous.
Even among Christian circles.
Yeah. So chaste, she's sexually pure. She reserves her affections for, even her emotional attachments and affections for her husband. Mm-hmm. Those are special for him. She guards her life in this regard. This is the conduct, but there's something else here that's going to even rub against the grain of present-day Christianity. That's the career of a Christian lady. And that career is found here when it says that she's to keep her home. She's to be a keeper of the home. Actually, housekeeper is a good word, a good translation right. for that word. And you know, the world is given the message that a woman who does that, if that's her thing, then okay, if that's one, but women can do much better than that. And I want to say, can they? Can they do much better than that? Can they do any better than that to invest their lives in their home? And what the world doesn't realize is being a wife and a mother is the God-ordained career for a married woman.
Well, you know, it's interesting you and I talked about this because we talk about men not providing for their homes, which means basically that if they don't do that, they deny the faith and worse than an infidel.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that. Deny the faith.
Yeah.
But then we talk about women, are they blaspheming the word of God if they don't take care of the homes? And I think this issue comes up, and we do a really good job of making excuses why we can do what we want to do as opposed to what the Scripture tells us to do.
Instead of saying, what does the Scripture say? How can I make a beeline for that?
We say, what does the Scripture say, and how can I make it form around what I want to do? You know, and then I think, you know, the thing about it is that you have to ask yourself this question. You know, especially these big-time, high-profile jobs, being a lawyer, doctor, big exec, whatever.
Yeah.
Are you going to be able to fulfill your responsibility within that context to your home?
It's interesting, in light of what you said there, that the MacArthur Study Bible says, keeping a godly home with excellence for one's husband and children is the Christian woman's non-negotiable responsibility. Mm. I just have to say amen to that.
Right.
So that's being ladylike.
So we talked about the conduct of a Christian lady, the career of a Christian lady. Under that idea, I think that probably will cause more questions than we could even answer right now. And I would say if people are interested in talking about that, shoot us, you know, messages for sure, and we can talk about that and dialogue about that. But the next thing is be loyal.
Yeah, I chose the word loyal because I have an L. that's partially true, but it's not altogether true. But because in this, we see this kind of commitment, this kind of obedience that is exemplified and I think is defined by loyalty. And her loyalty lies in two places. One to her husband, one to her Heavenly Father. To her husband, it says that these older women are to teach the younger women to be obedient to their own husband. That's a present tense. So that means it's a continuous action. So we're talking about a life of loyal obedience to one's own husband. That does bring the career into question when you have to be obedient to all kinds of men, mm-hmm. you know. And that's another discussion.
Right.
I'd throw that out there.
It's a valid question.
Chew on.
Yeah.
But she is to. Well, I said it this way, and it's not just that we have a house we come to and we both come from our jobs, but we're committed to something and to someone, the man too.
Right.
But for the woman to be loyal to her husband is, and primarily then to her Heavenly Father.
Right.
Now,
but you talked about that being to her husband is that you can be physically affectionate, not biblically loyal.
I think so, because we can mimic physical affection. I mean, this is crass.
It'd be very superficial.
But prostitutes do that.
Right.
They get bought to give physical affection. Now,
they're obviously motivated by paying.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. But to have this loyal heart is another thing altogether. If a woman does not commit herself to the success of her husband and to obedience to him, be obedient to him, then she blasphemes, as you brought up earlier, the word of God. Or, in other words, she blasphemes God. A life of disobedience to one's husband is a life of blasphemy. That's pretty serious. So I say it this way, and we can just close with this if you like, but that that yes, dear, should not be the cynical reaction of a disobedient heart, but the heartfelt response of a godly wife. Mm. Hey, ladies, chew on it.
Right. You know? Well, and I think you said this in regards to the Heavenly Father, not just to your husband. This is what it all boils down to, is the Heavenly Father. We're wanting to glorify Him, praise Him. We are committed to God's plan for our home. Is that, are we? Yeah. And we have to ask ourselves that.
Where does our loyalty lie?
And if we are, we will see the fruit of that in years to come. And you failed to do this, but I'm going to bring this out. Stand by your man. That's the other country song reference right there.
That's right. Y'all almost forgot. I remember hearing that as a kid. I thought it was lovely. Tammy Wynette, who's dead now, but stand by your man. That's it. That's biblical.
And not because you have to, but because you want to.
Tell the world you love him.
Right.
And
just as a man should do what he needs to do to betray sure. Christ, so must you do the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, there's probably a lot of questions from this. And again, I would say if people have questions, shoot us messages. Because there's a lot to talk about here.
There is.
Just 15 minutes well lost.
Maybe we could do a podcast on answering questions if enough people.
Do a live Facebook deal. All right. Well, unfortunately, we're out of time, but we thank you for being with us today. We look forward to being with you next week. Crosstalk is a production of Vision for Living Ministries. This is a free resource, but if you would like to support us, you can do so by visiting visionforliving.org/support. For more information on Vision for Living Ministries, visit our website where you will find other resources, including our blog. You can also find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/V4L. We would love to hear from you. You can email us at info@visionforliving.org. Or send us a message on Facebook. Join us next week on Crosstalk, the Gospel.